Hello and welcome to this online service to celebrate Christmas Eve and to remember and connect with all that Christmas Eve means for us. We're so glad that you have decided to worship with us in this way. Later on in the service, we will be doing what is one of our most precious Christmas traditions here at St. Stephen's, lighting our candles from the Christ candle. And so in preparation for that, you may want to have a candle ready in your home to light at that point in the service. So you may want to pause this recording now and gather a candle so you're ready when we do that. And as you are, let's turn now to the manger.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Please join me in the call to worship. A light shining in the darkness, what could it be? The sound of angels' wings, what could it mean? A baby born in a stable, who could it be? Come to Bethlehem and see. Let us pray. All those years ago, holy sovereign God, it is so easy and tempting to look at your birth as simply an historical event that happened in a foreign land to people vastly different from ourselves. Help us tonight to see and know that the coming of your divine Son is as relevant today as ever it was, and is the gift that keeps on giving. It is your great gift of love sent from heaven to reconcile and redeem us to yourself. We come now, humbly, reverently, and joyfully, to praise you, to worship you, and welcome you again into our hearts and lives. Come, Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, come. Amen.
So God made potatoes. and planets and puppies, giraffes and gorillas, goldfish and guppies, kangaroos, kittens, cows that go moo. Then last, best of all, he made me, he made you. But something went wrong. We thought we knew best. We ignored what God said, made the world a big mess. We hit and we hurt and we bullied and fought. And the great God who loved us, we simply forgot. It made God so sorry, and that's why he said, "This is bad, and it makes me sad. This is bad, and it makes me sad." For God's love was bigger than the mess that we made. He knew what to do, so here's what he said. "I'll send them my son to show them the way, to love one another and live like I say, and give them my power deep down in their hearts, to fight what is bad, to make a new start, and live in this world just like I first planned, and turn what is sad into glad again, and turn what is sad into glad again." So a woman called Mary, just minding her business, was asked to be part the very first Christmas by an angel called Gabriel, shiny and bright, who showed up one day and gave her a fright. "No need to be scared," the angel explained. "I've come with good news, simple and plain. You'll give birth to God's baby. It's all in his plan to turn what is sad into glad again. To turn what is sad into glad again." Then Mary and Joseph, her husband, went down to be counted by Caesar in Bethlehem town. With no empty rooms left to rent for this stay, they stopped in a place where the animals lay. And there in the hay, she gave birth to God's son and cuddled and cradled her small special one, who'd grow up to do all the things that God planned and turn what was sad into glad again. And turn what was sad into glad again. Some shepherds were watching their sheep down the way when an angel appeared like a firework display and shocked all the shepherds and shook up their sheep and made sure that no one would get a night's sleep. "Go to Bethlehem now," the bright angel said. "See the babe in the manger hay under his head? He's amazing, he's special, for only he can turn what is sad into glad again. Turn what is sad into glad again." So that's why we have Christmas and welcome the day, and sing and eat turkey and put on a play, and dress up like angels and get lots of toys. But it's not just because of that sweet baby boy, it's because of the man he grew up to be, who changed the whole world and can change you and me, to live and to love just like God always planned, and turn what is sad into glad again. And turn what is sad into glad.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When my children were in school, one of their teachers asked the class one year in December if they knew the Christmas story. I thought that was a fairly bold thing for a public school teacher to do at Christmas time. Well, the children's responses were interesting. It immediately became clear that there was no common understanding of just what story she was actually talking about. And that really shouldn't be surprising to us if we think about it, because Christmas is a time that is absolutely filled with stories. That's a big part of the charm of this season. There's something about Christmas that lends itself to the creation of wonderful stories that warm our hearts and touch something deep inside of us. The first story that I ever associated with Christmas was the one that was read in our home when I was a child every Christmas Eve. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. I can still remember it. That may have been the story that many of those children had in their minds when their teacher asked them that question so many years ago. But it is certainly not the only story that we associate with Christmas. Our Christmas traditions now include many stories. In our home, Christmas Eve is not complete until we have gathered around the television, usually late at night, to watch the old movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Or at least as much of it as I can stay awake for. For many families, Christmas isn't really complete until they've watched The Grinch, or maybe Home Alone, or Love Actually, or any of the countless versions of the same story that gets told in virtually every Hallmark Christmas movie, all of which I suspect are filmed at Whistler. Well, of course, in our service tonight, we've come together to hear a story, the one that Luke tells in the first part of his gospel, the story of the amazing things that happened on the night that Jesus was born. And depending on your perspective, this may be just one story among many for this season. Or maybe it's something more for you. Maybe it's a story you used to believe. Or maybe it's a story you want to believe. Or maybe for you it truly is the Christmas story, one you're quite committed to believing. Well, wherever you fall in this range of feelings about this, one thing that we might all agree on, if we're going to be brave and honest, is that there are at least a few things in this story that can be really challenging to believe. We have a baby somehow being born to a virgin, a sky being filled with angels that come to talk to some tired shepherds. There's the fact that apparently no one would take Mary in, even though she was probably clearly in labor. And of course, the whole point of the story to begin with, that little baby born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago was somehow also God. God who had come to live on this earth in human flesh. You know, if Luke had been trying to make up a story that would be easy for everyone to believe, I suspect he would have left out at least some of those rather dramatic, hard-to-believe elements. But he wasn't making it up. He was telling it like it happened. And so he told it all. Well, the more time that I spend living with and meditating on this story of Jesus' birth, and the more people I know and interact with, the stronger my sense grows that the most difficult part of this story for many of us to believe is not actually that God came into this world. It's that God would come into this world to us, to you. That's what the story tells us. When the angels came to the shepherds, they said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." The angel could have as easily said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Period." But they didn't. The message God gave them to bring was clear. A Savior has been born to you. Now you need to know that those shepherds would have been completely blown away by that. I mean, first of all, angels, there's that. Secondly, angels talking and talking to them. And third, angels telling them that God had sent a Savior to them. You need to know that shepherds were not the most respected members of society, and they were certainly not among the religious elite, the people who may have actually expected some special attention from God. No, for the most part, first century shepherds were a pretty rough and ready bunch. So they were far more likely to have thought that they would be among the very last people God would want to come to. It must have been tough for them to believe what the angel was saying. Maybe that's actually part of the reason why the angel gave them that very specific description about where they would find this baby, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. It may not have been until they got to that stable and saw that baby tucked warmly in the straw that they began to truly let themselves begin to consider the possibility that it might all be true. God might really have come to them. Well, as I mused a few minutes ago, many of us might feel a little like those shepherds. It may not be too much of a stretch for us to believe that God loves this world, and even that God would come to this world. It may not even be too much for you to believe that God actually loves individual people too, people like your friends and family and neighbors. but for many of us, maybe even for most of us, the truth is that we have a much harder time really believing that God's love for us would be so strong that he would somehow come, as the angel has said, to us. For some reason, whether we're always aware of it or not, lots of us have a little voice in our heads that tells us that other people may be deserving of God's love and attention, but we might not be. And so we can't quite believe what the angel has said. Well, you know, this is an absolutely amazing story. I truly believe it is the best story ever told. And I would be delighted for you to believe it all, every bit of it. But tonight and tomorrow and for all of your days after that, the part I care most about you believing is this part that seems to be the most difficult for us, that God has come to you. God came to rescue the world. That's true, and it will happen. But God didn't just come for us en masse. God designed us to live in individual relationships. And God himself longs to have a relationship with each and every one of us. So while God did come for this world, God also came for each of us as individuals. God came and comes to you. Believe it or not, it's true. You who have been fearfully and wonderfully made, you are the object of God's perfect, unrestrained, and unconditional love. You are precious to God, and he loves you. So tonight, my Christmas prayer for you is that above all else, you might dare to believe this part of this Christmas story, that God loves you so much that 2,000 years ago he came, born onto this earth in a dark stable in the ancient world in the Middle East, to make a way through the life and the work that Jesus would do so that you would get to know God's incredible love for you firsthand. Dear friends, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. That is the heart of the Christmas story. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving God, in this most holy season, we have gathered to celebrate the birth of Jesus. As we join our voices with the angels and come to the stable as the shepherds did, we find ourselves struck again with wonder at this Christmas miracle. That you would come to us, God, is a gift almost beyond our comprehending. Tonight, as we remember the depth of your care for each and every one of us, we are moved to bring to you the pain we see in our world and our hope that you might ease that pain and heal all that causes it. So in this season when there can be so much excess, we pray for all of those who feel empty, those whose dreams have been shattered and whose futures are uncertain. In this season of carols, we remember all in our midst who feel that they have little to sing about, all who are lonely, depressed, anxious, sick, or grieving. In this season of festivity, we pray for all who face the harshest of realities, those in prison, those who have been driven from their homes and lands, those who are caught in the midst of war and strife. Yet through the shadows of our world and the challenges we face, tonight the light of your promises shines brightly, and the words of the angels bring longed-for hope that you are with us, and that you are working to bring peace and wholeness and restoration to this earth. We pray for your church, that we might live into our call to be bearers of your light and love to all the world. We pray for all in leadership who hold power and authority, that they may put their energies towards initiatives that bring justice and peace to all humankind. And we pray for ourselves. We ask for strength and purpose, that you would help us to truly live the love of Christmas in our lives every day. Emmanuel, God with us, abide with us. We ask all of this in the name of the one born this night. Amen.
We have a tradition here at St. Stephen's regarding the offering taken on Christmas Eve, that it goes to a group in the community that serves the community and its needs. This year, the worship team and the board decided to give our Christmas Eve offering to Forward House. Now, Forward House serve the mentally ill, they serve the lonely, they serve the addicted, they serve the unhomed, and others in many ways. They have a great outreach, and that is where the offering is going tonight. So if you at home decide that you would like to offer something to the work of Forward House, we invite you to go to this web address that's showing on your screen now and make a donation to them. Would you pray with me now, dedicating these gifts to God's work through the work of Forward House? Let us pray. Lord, we are giving and receiving gifts this Christmas season, but in this hour, we give you thanks for the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ. We bring you our gifts of gratitude and pray that they may be used to spread your love in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We've come to the part of the service that is perhaps for many of us the most precious part of this service, the candle lighting section and the opportunity to sing Silent Night together. And so this is a time you may want to light your candle if you have one in your home, as I light mine from the Christ candle. And please join me in our candle lighting liturgy. The light from even a single flame makes watching an easier task. Christ's flame reminds us that God is with us. May we live as people strengthened by God's hope. May we live as people encouraged by God's peace. May we live as people abiding in God's joy. May we live as people sharing in God's love.
Oh,
Friends, may the God of the angels who heralded Christ's birth bring joy to your hearts this day and always. May the God of love, who gave his only Son to be born for you, fill your life with love and peace. May God, Emmanuel, God with us, be in all of your doings and your celebrations, and be there until he brings you to his eternal kingdom. And may the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. And Merry Christmas, everyone.
See?